Today, Tony Lecantro's Carnivore Transformation. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice posts covering finance and property news and lifestyle news today as well, because I'm joined by Tony Lecantro. Tony, hello. Great to have you back. Different show tonight, but actually, I think a very important lifestyle show from you tonight.
Yeah, well, you can have all the money in the world. You can know markets, but if you don't have good health, then what's the point? And I've done a lot of research on this, and I should make it perfectly clear, Martin and viewers, that I'm not a doctor. I didn't go to medical school, and the chances of having the courses to become a GP overhauled with all these findings, it's simply not going to happen. And what I've done is I've undertaken some major changes in my life, like huge changes, really, at a time where the stock market has been it's been pretty disappointing the last couple of years. And I thought, well, let's develop some healthy addictions. And I'd like to reiterate to everyone, there's no excuses. I didn't like pain. I didn't like going to the gym. I didn't like pushing myself. I'd always go to the cupboard and eat shit food, always go for the junk food option when I was too lazy to cook. So unless you're totally incapacitated, there's absolutely zero excuses not to follow a healthier lifestyle, even to make just a couple of changes. I know that seems cliche, but what I'm hoping from tonight's program is that someone out there will make one change and will add years to their life and improve their quality of life. And I thought it'd be a great time to share what I've been going through. I know it comes up in some of my economic shows, and I thought, let's devote a show here to improving your health. And any improvement, I tell you what, it's worthwhile. And as I said, money doesn't matter when you don't have your health.
No, very important point. And in fact, Michael Mosley's death over the weekend, you know, underscores how influential he was in terms of helping people to take steps to improve their health. And I think one of the things that I realized a few years ago, Tony, was that whilst you've got a medical system, et cetera, at the end of the day, it's down to individual decisions that individuals take and what they do and what they don't do. Which actually has a hugely profound impact on their health and well-being. And unfortunately, for many people, perhaps caught in the trap of chasing their own tail in terms of trying to get by, and perhaps grabbing whatever they can quickly to eat, and maybe not doing the exercise and everything else, it can make a huge difference. Just this last week, I actually. I took a week off and went down walking with the dogs down to South Devon. I might insert a little clip here just to show how beautiful the countryside was. And you know, lifestyle and getting out and getting some fresh air and exercise, this is a critical element for well-being, success, and eating right and doing the right things. And I think sometimes we get trapped in chasing property, chasing shares, but this is a really important conversation we're going to have.
Yeah, I'll just go back to Michael Mosley. I watched his program on 5-2, and I tried it, and it does work. And interesting to learn that, you know, during the Great Depression, life expectancy went up 7 years, probably because no one really was eating as much, and they were more focused on healthier foods at that point. And Michael then focused on the 800 diet, which my wife called the $800 diet, by accident, mind you. That was fairly hard to follow. I must admit, 800 calories. Michael then followed up on high intensity training and sleep. More importantly, sleep, because sleep is probably one of the lack of sleep is one of the biggest killers there is. And what I've discovered with my transformation, especially diet, I don't count calories anymore. And I think that where 800 calories might have been restrictive, this isn't. It's more restrictive on the types of food. But if you're out there and you need to try and drop some weight to get into a good habit, 800 calories a day, of course, if you're not totally on the couch, you will lose weight. And that's where a lot of these low-calorie meal programs, they do work. However, you need to watch what you eat. And I think what I'm going to show tonight is it's all about what you eat. And more importantly, if you cut something out of your diet, the changes could be immense. And I think that's worth sticking around for however long this goes for, Martin. So, yeah, real shame about Michael Mosley, because he pushed the unconventional into the mainstream, and then it became somewhat conventional. And I know that he was very well known in the UK and Australia. I actually went and saw him live when he was here in Perth, and he just seemed like a genuine guy, even though no doubt he'd be making money, well, obviously with his passion, but he seemed genuinely keen to help people transform their lives. And it's actually a sad loss. And Juliana said that that's a celebrity death that's actually hit her quite hard. So yeah, what a guy that has hopefully transformed hundreds of thousands of lives.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I take out from him and his shows and things is that there is an important little fanatical edge that you need to sometimes do the things that, you know, you need to do. And sometimes moving out of your comfort zone and trying that. I mean, to give you an example, my little bit of fanaticism is my 25,000 steps a day. So religiously, I try to make sure that I do at least 25,000 steps. Now, that for me has worked over the last few years in terms of, you know, maintaining reasonably good health. With two dogs, of course, it's a great way to do it. But a lot of people look at me and think, you're nuts. You know, how can you possibly do that? So sometimes one person's fanaticism is stupidity looked through a different lens. So it is interesting. And so I'll be very interested to see what you've learned, Tony. And clearly you can see the results here. It's worked for you, whatever you've done.
Yeah, I just bought a cheap counter off Temu of all places. I think it cost me about $27. And I like to get my steps. My minimum target is around 10,000. And when I play paddle, it gets up around 16,000, 17,000. So I'm essentially working a desk job. And if I can walk around during the day on my mobile phone, but I like to count steps as well. And if I've had a low day on the steps, I'm going to make up for it. So again, probably for about $30, that's a great investment. So yeah, great point, Martin. And I mean, that's a healthy fanaticism or OCD, but that's great. If you get 25,000 steps a day, watch what you eat. Yeah, you're going to stick around and provide your pretty much essential advice for everything on the economy. So that's great, Martin. And I think that's something that other people should look at adopting, even it's to get 6,000 a day, because all the studies would suggest that anywhere between 6,000, 10,000 is okay. So yeah, what I've done is I've actually put together a bit of a slideshow, and it'll allow me to talk the slides and cover all the important points that I want to cover. So let's just work our way through it, Martin. Chuck, let's go. So I've had a complete transformation. I've pretty much now go to the gym minimum of 5 days a week. I'll allow myself two rest days. I do not go there and do any cardio. It's all about weights. I've done all the research, and resistance training is the best exercise you can do. I get all my cardio from walking and paddle at least once a week. So again, I see a lot of newbies at the gym that will jump on the treadmill, jump on the exercise bike, then go home and consume 3,000 calories. And gym's a place where you just don't say anything to anyone else. And I can tell, I've watched people 12, 18 months later that have got zero results. And what my suggestion is you cannot outrun a bad diet, and you need to get focused on the kitchen first, then get into resistance training. Resistance training probably is one of the best things that I've undertaken. My aim was to be as cut as a kilo of cocaine, and I'm certainly getting there. Now, I watched 60 Minutes Australia, and there was a story on fad diets, and they had Dr. Anthony Chaffee on there, and he spoke about the benefits of a carnivore diet, and I was sold. And Juliana said, why don't you go carnivore straight away? And I said, don't I get my final vanilla slice? And she said, no. So I then went strict carnivore, and that's basically meat. So I only started eating beef, chicken, eggs, fish, shellfish, etc. But what I worked out was there wasn't enough fat in chicken. So chicken, I have as a bit of a rare treat. And for those wondering, what I do is I'll cook up pork skin and blend it, and that's how I crumb my chicken. And they're just as good as KFC tenders. So basically, I live on steak. And where the supermarkets have got it wrong is the fattier the mince, the cheaper. And the fattier mince, it's actually the healthiest mince. You actually need fat. So on carnivore, I was 100% strict at the start. On December 2022, I was sitting there drinking low-calorie bubbles. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? I'm sitting here drinking this. This isn't sparking any joy whatsoever. So I quit. And I thought, I can do a year. Bang, that year, easy. I thought, stuff it, let's go another year. Then my son actually asked me, when's your next drink? And I said, oh, I said it'd be on your 18th. He's now 16. And he said to me, but I can't even stand the smell of Coca-Cola. And I thought, well, why the hell would I celebrate your 18th with something that won't bring any joy? And so now I've pushed back my next drink to my 10-year anniversary with my wife. So I'll probably extend it after that. But with alcohol, I just don't think there's a more celebrated poison on this earth. You look at all the celebrations, you look at, you know, you open a magazine and every wine's 94, 95 out of 100. You have whole features designed to the best reds, the best whites. The problem is, yes, you've got one ad where a guy goes, what's your poison? And then we get it, but the movement hasn't really started yet, because I guess there's just so many people employed in the alcohol industry, and it's critical. But, you know, where's the magazines celebrating Cuban cigars? So I think that will change. Do I miss alcohol? No. I just hate people saying, oh, go on, just one drink. No, I can go to the bar and order a sparkling mineral water. Or if I really want to be bad, I'll have a Coke, no sugar. Oh, and that's the other thing. When you go carnivore, you pretty much cut out carbohydrates and sugar. So they're the pillars of my transformation. Also, what I have, as I mentioned earlier, I've added in some sport as well. So that's me on the left. I didn't know what I wanted to do at school. I actually did pretty well at school, but I decided to become a police officer. So that was me in my police academy days. My weight at that point was about 85 kilos. I then was horrified when I went to LA during the GFC. Slash from Guns N' Roses was having an appearance at a music store. And I actually went back and put into YouTube, and I saw myself. And even though that was during the GFC, that was a time when the scales in our house only went up to 120 kilos. And for quite some time, I was on that range. At that point, I was getting a shit ton of empty calories from wine. I was drinking a lot of wine. But the scary part is that I didn't think I looked that bad. But when I saw that video, I looked terrible. So I've been yo-yoing ever since, pretty much. And I think that, you know, it took some effort to get fit, to become a cop, to pass that obstacle course in Goulburn where you're breathing, you're struggling. And I got through that, only to go out in a police car and pull up on Bondi Beach and have a bag full of half-price sausage McMuffins. And, you know, you never really had that Hollywood, all these chases and that. And it was easy to stack the weight on, but becoming a stockbroker then, obviously easy. It was easier to stay desk-bound and into that unhealthy lifestyle. And that's a recent photo. That was in first week of May. When I seek out a hotel now, I look for a gym. And I went to that gym in Koh Samui every day. And I thought, well, this is, once you become disciplined, you don't want to miss it. And if I didn't go to the gym, I'd be doing what you do, Martin, and getting those 25,000 steps per day. So that's the path that I could have taken in life. Not that healthy. I used to smoke cigarettes as well in the early days, and I used to sit there smoking cigarettes, watching the Dow Jones at night. With a bottle of Coke and chips. Everyone loves chips, but geez, they can do some damage to you. So instead, I chose this path, and it's just been absolutely brilliant. And people say, it's restrictive, but where I find the challenge is finding cheap protein. I'll seek out $15 per kilo rump. Meat's obviously a lot cheaper if you cut it yourself. So basically in Perth, it's Farmer Jack's and Spudchet, pardon me. And what I've noticed now is that Woolworths and Coles are selling mince for about $9 a kilo for the three-star mince. And I'll just turn that into burgers. I go nuts on seafood when I go to the Epicurean buffet at Crown for a bit of a treat. But again, one of the best investments I made was an air fryer. I'll just chuck some bacon in the air fryer. Steak in the air fryer isn't too bad. So again, I'm kind of on this one meal a day mission. I try not to eat during the morning. I have coffee. One of the best things I did recently, which has really improved my results, was I've stopped having milk in my coffee. And that's saving, milk's about 4% sugar. Also, you're getting about 5 grams of carbs per 100 mils. And I've noticed that my results in the gym have improved dramatically since I've given up milk. So I've done all the research. I've looked at the diets and carnivores. Yeah, it's an amazing way of living. It does have a supportive community online as well. So far, they're good guys. Haven't had too many issues with them at all. Now, what I'm going to do is just cover a few follows. I'm not going to give you heaps of names. I just think that's counterproductive because Juliana basically sums this lifestyle up in two words, and that's eat meat. But the carnival cure is probably the only book, if you're looking at adapting this way of life, even to some extent, it's the only book you'll need. And it's bloody hard to buy here in Australia. I've managed to borrow it a few times from my local library, and it's worth chasing up. But this book really is an eye-opener. It just shows you how bioavailable nutrients are in meat and animal products, more so than plants. And it also goes into the nasties in plants. Dr. Chaffee came up with a video. It's very controversial, but it's probably worth watching. And he says that plants are trying to kill you. And I know that people at work put a lot of shit on me when I mentioned that, but I go back to the lady in Victoria who killed her in-laws with mushrooms. So, and also interesting to know that almonds contain cyanide. I mean, you have to eat a lot of almonds to poison yourself, and flaxseed as well. So the interesting points to come from that book on plants is that plants are trying to defend themselves at being eaten. And there's a emerging belief now that lectins are the new gluten, and lectins are in vegetables, and it's a binding protein that does cause some issues. So Judy goes into these. She also goes into the nutrient content of animal products and meat in particular, and you'll see that it's the most nutrient dense food on the planet. Well, actually beef liver is, but you don't really have to have a lot of organ meats on this diet. But this book I think is worthwhile for everyone, because you don't have to go 100% carnivore. There's variations of it where you can be ketovore, where you do have some fruit and vegetables with your meat. So a great book, and probably the only one you need if you can find the bloody thing. Now on YouTube, Anthony Chaffee, he's a doctor, a neurosurgeon actually, ex rugby union player. You'll often see him with his shirt off. But he was the initial inspiration for me on 60 Minutes. He does a lot of YouTubes. He runs a similar live shows to you, Martin, where he'll answer questions. People will put up their blood work. He'll answer questions on cholesterol, fat, why people aren't succeeding on the carnivore diet. And he's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So you can follow him on YouTube and X. Coach Carnivore Cam, you could go to this guy simply for the comments. Oh, geez, people put absolute shit on him. But if you're missing that naughty food, that naughty style food, he has heaps of recipes. He does the pork crackle trick where he'll bread his chicken in pork crackle. You can also do veal. He works out, he'll show what he eats on holidays, so you get a combination. He's just straight to the bloody point, and he cops a lot in the comments section, but you know, he's quite regular with his videos. And again, he just says, well, what you're eating essentially most of the time is utter garbage. So he's well worth following. The third guy, the insulin resistant channel. Now, he wears a continuous glucose monitor, and he tests himself on food and beverages. And that's a recent one where he ate two donuts. And that's probably one of the biggest spikes I've ever seen. And he also will test bananas in all their forms. And it's worthwhile knowing that if you eat bananas that are more green and less ripe, you're going to save yourself part of a massive sugar spike. So once a banana ripens fully, the sugar spike is exacerbated. He showed that the blood sugar spike from watermelon was actually higher than a Twix bar. He also tested different types of bread, and the conclusion was there's no such thing as a healthier bread option whatsoever. I think rice is evil. I will do my utmost to avoid the bloody stuff. But he says, if you cook your rice in coconut oil, it's going to substantially reduce the sugar spike. So what will come from that is you'll learn about all the different foods, how they affect your blood sugar. And I think that that channel is vital, and it will certainly open your eyes that fruit is essentially sugar, and a lot of meat products, meat, cheese, isn't going to cause any spike whatsoever. So that's useful for people that are interested in it. And again, you learn about the different types of foods, different types of breads. Just by putting rice in the fridge overnight, you're going to reduce its GI index considerably. So that is a great channel, and it might even save someone's life out there. So on Twitter, X, sorry, Robert Lufkin has just written a book, Lies I Taught in Medical School. And I think that sums it up, because obviously the beliefs with food and the health industry have pretty much been turned upside down, and he puts out a lot of fantastic information. And if there's an all-rounder on X, I'd say it's him. He's got 116,000 followers, and he deserves every single one of them as far as I'm concerned. He's a must follow on nutrition and health. Dr. Sean Baker has written a book on the carnivore diet as well. I borrowed that from the local library. He puts out a lot of content, a lot of humor. Again, someone that doesn't wear a shirt too often. You'll see him doing jumps and rowing, but he's a good guy. He'll put out lots of YouTube shorts where he's eating meat, and there's some useful content as well. And probably a young rising star, she'd be the nutrition version of Greta, but she's actually going to be useful, is Grace Price. So she's put out her own documentary on cancer, and she's trying to flatten the cancer curve. And she's starting to build some momentum. And I think she's going to be certainly one of the stars of social media in relation to her crusade against cancer and certainly nutrition. So they're three people to follow on X. Now, the scary part was Dr. Wilhelm had it perfectly right in 1882, basically saying that eat meat and fat meat, avoid sweets, lessen the intake of potatoes, bread, and even vegetables. And they basically, fatty foods create the feeling where you're no longer hungry, and you feel certainly satisfied. And my argument is that we all worship fatty fish. Is it because the salmon exercise more? Yeah, fatty fish is great. Why not fatty meat? And again, we've had a terrible situation where the American Heart Association was paid off by the good people at Procter & Gamble to say that heart disease was caused by saturated fat and not seed oils. And how many millions of lives have been lost to that utter bullshit? And I think now that it's coming that this carnivore evolution, I think, starting to gain some momentum now. You look at the searches of people with carnivore as opposed to vegan. It's certainly building. But now, you know, what's going to happen when they discover that all this other food is essentially garbage, and you look at the industries it's employed, you look at the big pharma. I don't want to go too far into it, but anyway, it's all a big payoff. Great stuff. Well done. So vegans versus carnivores. There's a bit of a cartoon that gave me a bit of a laugh. I think that those that follow any type of diet where there's calorie restriction, as long as you're getting your nutrients, is the good thing. But unfortunately, plants with their, they have lots of anti-nutrients, and the vitamins, minerals, essentials aren't as bioavailable. So that's where meat comes in. So again, vegans versus carnivores, it's like state of origin, New South Wales versus Queensland. But no, I'm certainly in the carnivore camp. I'd actually struggle on a vegan diet, and I'd certainly be shit scared every time I was served a mushroom. So it's all about, we hear a lot about blue zones. We hear people that live off islands in Sardinia and Sicily living to 100. You see them there playing cards with all their friends. And you can argue blue zones forever. Here's one I put up. I'm a carnivore, so of course I'm 100% biased. So yeah, Hong Kong has the world's longest life expectancy, and they have the highest meat consumption per capita, and that's all down to meat providing the essentials being bioavailable. And anyway, you can argue that. People will say that there's tribes that eat 94% of their diet is sweet potatoes, and they're healthy. But that's all due to the omega-6 levels, which I'll get to in a sec. Oh, this is brilliant. Geez, John Harvey Kellogg, what a great bloke. So he was into trying to prevent masturbation, and he's the guy that came up with the slogan that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I call bullshit to that. And it's actually a good thing that the Victorian government is looking to provide school children with breakfast prior to them going to school. And that essentially, let's face it, should be steak, bacon and eggs, not a food product that's 50 to 60 grams per 100 grams carbohydrates and about 20, 25 grams of sugar. I mean, that just classifies itself as junk food. And this industry has been allowed to explode through essentially Kellogg's. And you look at what he stood for. Oh, what a joke. That might be a bit of an eye-opener, but I don't know why I pushed the trolley down the cereal aisle, but oh my God, it's just absolute junk. And I know that to boil an egg might take about 8 minutes, where you just get your child to go and get some cereal and put some sugar on top. But if we, you know, if there's a change where kids aren't fed this shit in the morning and they're straight into protein, I think, you know, they're going to be a lot healthier and probably more mentally alert. Oh, it just gets worse, where the sugar industry paid off three Harvard scientists. They sold their souls for, I think, $65,000 each to blame fat over sugar. So they're saying that fat causes all the obesity, all the chronic diseases, when in fact it was sugar. And that's cost probably millions of people their lives. It's led to the rapid growth in diabetes, which is driven by sugar, but also something else which I'm about to get to as well. So as you can see, the world isn't so pure and holy when you read about these people, and it's just nasty. Again, I'm not huge on conspiracy theories, but geez. Anyway, what I love about the carnivore diet is that these are the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. And you look at what the ribeye provides. If you look in Australia, you can have more towards like a Scotch fillet. There's an argument out there that you pay $40 to $50 a kilo. At Farmer Jack's recently, it was $19.99 a kilo. They've just bumped it up to $24.99 a kilo. But again, the benefits of meat there with the vitamins in there as well are fantastic. And interestingly, something that you might think's junk food and a bit of a treat, pork belly is one of the most nutrient-dense foods you can eat. One of the other ones, I mentioned beef liver, but that's an acquired taste, that the oyster has immense nutrients in it. It's very nutrient-dense and might also help you get laid as well. One of the other really good nutrient-dense foods out there is salmon roe or caviar. Again, but you're going to have to eat a shit ton of it and it's expensive. But in Judy's book, she goes through the nutritional content. So I like the fact also that bacon has more potassium than a banana. Anyway, stun your friends at the next dinner party with that. Now, this is one of the most important slides of the entire presentation. So what I've done, where possible, if I go out to a restaurant, they're not always going to adhere to it, I've cut out all those bad fats completely. And I'll buy lard now, which is essentially animal fat. We'll cook in butter. None of this Western Star spread, which is more towards a margarine. I'll also collect, when I air fry bacon, I'll also collect bacon grease. I'll also collect the juice from lamb as well to create these healthy fats to cook in. So all the other oils, I think McDonald's actually cook their French fries in beef tallow up until about 1980. Now they've switched to these other oils. And in one of the tests on the continuous glucose monitor, Cam had a large McDonald's French fries and the blood sugar reading was off the charts. And it actually was not far off a couple of donuts. So again, McDonald's stopped using beef tallow with their fries. Obviously, it might have cost a bit more money, but it's all about switching to good fats and cutting out the bad fats. And just a reminder that bread is sugar, rice is sugar, pasta is sugar, fruit is sugar, and cereal is sugar. So if you're thinking, well, carbohydrates convert to sugar. And that's why you look at the nutritional content of a box of Cocoa Pops or Fruit Loops with all that artificial shit in it, and you'll see that 3/4 of it might be sugar. So one of the biggest changes I've made with the way I cook is I've got rid of all those oils, chucked them out. When I go to restaurants, I'll ask, can my steak be cooked in butter or lard if you have it? It's not going to be 100% adherence, but geez, I'm going to have a crack. So during my research, I watched a video from Dr. Knob. Some might call him that. But what his argument was is that the obesity epidemic, to some extent, hasn't been totally driven by sugar and carbohydrates. The obesity and chronic disease epidemic has been driven by vegetable oil, where in the 1960s, we were getting 78 calories per day of vegetable oil, and that has increased almost eightfold to 575 calories a day. Obesity in 1980 has gone from 9% to over 30%, and this is in 2018, and I can just imagine it now. You'd think it's up around that 35% level. And this video is worth chasing because it does explain how those Inuits living on meat, tribes living on 94% sweet potato, had low omega-6 levels, had low levels of vegetable oil. So, yep, sugar's a bad guy, but are seed oils the nasty shit that's led to this crisis? And if there's one change you can make from watching this video is cutting out all that bad oil, then I'm hoping that can certainly make a difference. I'm not telling anyone to go carnivore. It's not going to work for everyone. But if you can stop cooking in sunflower oil, canola oil, and the academic arguments for this is compelling. And I think we're going to hear a lot more of this. And I know that some of the most famous on X just put out tons of material on how evil seed and vegetable oils are. So if that's the only takeaway, pun intended, then it's well worth it. So what they're saying is industrial seed oils are the primary drivers of obesity, diabetes, and most chronic diseases. And again, a lot of these oils were developed for machinery, and now they put it into pretty much everything. It's always in all these packaged foods. You look at the seed oil content, even in, you look at packaged hamburgers in the supermarket. So I just buy the cheapest three-star mince and make my own now. So I think that this is worthwhile to even research. And if you can just cut back, it's going to make it worthwhile. So anyway, that's the culprit, guys. Anyway, here's some sayings. I had to throw one about the economy in there, Martin. This lady, she ate rice for dinner for a whole year. She owns six homes and probably has diabetes and metabolic health issues as well. I think there are healthier ways to get by to buy six homes. I'd recommend $9 three-star mince from your local supermarket. A lot healthier than rice and probably a little bit cheaper. I found this next quote really interesting because, again, I say to myself, there's no excuses. What am I doing? Am I going to waste all my time binging on Netflix, just being lazy? And I think having a fit body is something that I have earned. I don't buy fancy clothes. All I do really is find clothes that fit. And I think the best thing you can do is go for something that fits over a label, because you look at labels these days, and even though Border Patrol try and make it hard to get in, there's just so many fakes out there. So I'm getting towards that fit body. It does make you feel good because I've worked hard for it. And it's 5, 6 days a week in the gym. It's being dedicated to a carnivore diet. it's also dedication to doing a shit ton of research as well. So, and finally, I just think this is so true. And I know we're all living in times where we have lots of issues, financial, social. We've got domestic violence is coming to the fore, cost of living pressures. Everyone to some extent is certainly struggling. And if you've got good health, then you're a fighting chance. And this is why I've adopted this lifestyle, because once I got to about 51, I thought, well, shit, how many good years have I actually got left where I'm able, I can compete in football and paddle against my 16-year-old son who's going to overtake me soon. How long can I go in on for my career as a stockbroker? If I'm playing with a full bag of marbles, I can do it till I drop. I just want to give myself the best possible chance. And if cutting out seed oils, even if the research is wrong, where's the harm? But to me, the research is compelling. And I want to stay as healthy as long as possible, because now I'm not far off 53. I realize, shit, I've got to do something. And the best possible chance is cutting out drinking poison. Big deal, guys. Go to the pub, order something that doesn't have alcohol in it. It's not that hard. If your friends keep putting pressure on you, just tell them to piss off. I don't bother with the fake beer. What's the point? I'll just sit there and have a mineral water, have a slice of lemon or lime in it if you must. But it's peer group pressure. It's having all this pressure to serve up shit. We celebrate with junk food. I laugh now where you go to a kid's party and the hot dogs get eaten and the fruit platter gets left. Maybe the healthiest part of that is to ditch the bread and just eat the Frankfurts. Who knows? Who knows? But it's all about peer group pressure. It's, I guess you've got to be, to steal a quote from Eric, be brave, be different. And that's all, folks. So if you could stop the share, Martin.
Yeah, that's fine. All done. And Tony, that was very insightful and very interesting. I guess standing back, three observations. The first is big pharma and big food, those large corporations, they have a lot to answer for, don't they, in terms of pushing particular barrows of whatever uphill, right? And then getting scientists, bribe scientists to say things to try and actually get people to buy more. So it is important, I think, that people actually understand that highly processed stuff might be cheap, which is why it gets put into a lot of stuff that gets then flogged on supermarket shelves, but it may not necessarily be that healthy. The second point is that, do your own research and, don't just take everything that's out there as equally true. So it's important to search. And then thirdly, I think listen to your own body as well, which is pretty important. And that you can make quite significant changes and differences if you take it seriously and if you go after it. Very interesting. No regrets.
No, and what I've noticed is that I feel as though now I look quite good. My wife's with bias is a 9 out of 10, so I'm only a couple of points behind her now, Martin. But what was happening was I was going to the gym 6 days a week, but we were getting these dinner boxes. And the thing about the dinner boxes was that they were the servings of meat were quite small, and then you had a lot of rice and vegetables, and my weight was still cruising at 102 kilos. It's when I went carnivore that between 17 and 20 kilos disappeared with the same amount of steps per day, the same targeted weight training. I'm not going to put that down to alcohol because I wasn't drinking when I was at my cruising weight. I have cut out seed oils 99.99%, but what I've done now, I'm pretty much 95% carnivore. I did, when we went to Koh Samui, I decided that when I'm in Southeast Asia, I will have a fresh coconut. So that fresh coconut was the only fruit I've had since I've been 95% carnivore. But coconut is showing that it reduces sugar spikes, and coconut is essentially fat. And fat has been the bad guy for years. Now it's turning out that fat was actually the good guy, whilst obesity rates have gone from sub 10%, approaching 40, even higher if you look at the States. So zero regrets whatsoever. I just want to give myself the best possible chance of staying healthy. Not drinking means that we go out for dinner less. I'm saving a lot of money. I don't go near a bottle shop anymore. Does it affect me socially? No. My job as a stockbroker is extremely social. I can stand there and have a water. And the other benefit of not drinking is I can leave every function early. You know, when you're there and people are boring you to death and they start talking shit with variable tone. I notice stockbrokers are the worst. They start yelling. And I just get up and say, I'll leave you drunks to it. And I'm designated driver everywhere. It's amazing. Zero regrets on going carnivore. Next time I'm going to Vietnam, Cambodia in December, I'm going to have some coconut. Yes, probably I'm diverting a little bit from being a full-on carnivore, but I don't have to be because I've made enough changes. So zero regrets. I will say it, Martin, I regret not doing this earlier because my 40s were a time where I managed to get myself to a weight that maxed out the scales. I looked horrible. And the scary part is I thought I didn't look too bad. And I guess it's a bit of a shallow hell moment for me. But yeah, the big pharma's got a lot to answer for. Are things going to change? No, I can't see it because there's too many jobs at stake. There's too many shareholders at stake. But shit, just look after yourself and look after your family. Just, mate, do some minor tweaks and stay healthy.
Absolutely. It's never too late to make a change, I think. And, the fact is it, the changes that you make can make a very significant difference into the future, because what you do today pays into the future as well, doesn't it? Just like investing, really.
Yeah, I think there is going to be a speed hump or a roadblock for some people, and that's cholesterol. I'm not going to go into that. I think the news is slowly coming out that they've actually got cholesterol wrong as well, believe it or not. Interestingly, the Indigenous people of Australia have the lowest rates of cholesterol, yet the highest rates of heart disease. And there are studies now that are just being released that will debunk a lot of that. But that's going to hold a lot of people back from having the courage to go carnivore. I've done the research. I'm staying carnivore. I've also done the research on sunglasses. I don't wear sunglasses. I'm in the I don't wear sunglasses camp. I know that might bemuse a lot of people, but there's an argument for and against wearing sunglasses. But yes, I do go and get my eyes checked. So I've chosen this path, and 19, 20 kilos has disappeared as a result. I'm mentally alert. I feel great. I get up at 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. every morning and walk the dog. I'm never going to get as many steps in as you, Martin. When I'm Vietnam, I'll give it a good crack. and I'm just loving life, and it's the happiest I've ever been. And unfortunately, I'm in the tail end of my life. So anyway, just don't leave it too long, people. I say to my son, my 16-year-old, I know you're sick of my life lectures, but geez, with the amount of research I've done, I can give you something, some knowledge that will make you above average, which will give you above average health, which will give you above average financial skills. I'll teach you how markets work. I'll teach you that fat is the good guy. And that's all you need to know. And as my wife says, eat meat.
Well, Tony, I want to say thank you very much. Very interesting story, and definitely worth giving it, you know, the full focus that we have on this show. I look forward to getting you back on in a few weeks' time when we're going to talk about the markets again. Always worth spend time on that. But I think this is a really important message, and not least because it does show you that the decisions that we take as individuals can have quite profound impacts. And certainly you're a picture of health today. Congratulations on that. Thank you very much for putting the material together and taking us through it. Really appreciate it. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Martin. And thanks, viewers.
See you. Take care.